What's up? How we doing? Welcome to Across the Board, hosted by me, Brennan Liddell Bryant, where we talk about anything and everything relevant and irrelevant in today's world. You can listen to this anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, your grandma's phone, because I know she's listening to my podcast right now. we'll see where the conversation takes us. But today I have my boy Div in the building. What's up, Div? How we doing?
What's good, brother? Good. Thanks for having me, bro.
Of course, man. So we're actually doing this through FaceTime and we're both recording each other's audio. So we'll see how this ends up piecing together at the end of it. But, you know, thanks for coming on today's episode of Across the Board. This episode is basically about the art of hustle, and you're one of the biggest hustlers I know, like in the best sense of the word. Div is an amazing person. I've known him for a couple years now. We went to school together. But I just wanted to have Div on to talk to a couple people out there who are like really inspired about like accessing their full potential. By the way, I forgot to mention, tonight's episode is sponsored by Corbet Wine, Pinot Grigio. So if you hear me slurring, you know what's good. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm drinking tea. I need some wine on my end, bro.
He's on his tea grind, guys. I got some grapes in the studio, too. And by the studio, I mean my bedroom. We're living real bougie out here, guys. But yeah, so I essentially wanted Div to come on to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, his story, his grind, his hustle. And, you know, hopefully it speaks to someone out there. So without further ado... Whoa, that's crazy. Without further ado, Div, take it away. Tell us your story.
Dude, thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me, bro.
Of course.
Well, actually, first of all, thanks so much for taking me and the homie to Vegas last weekend. That was a vibe for sure.
That was a movie. Yeah, shout out to Ash Minor, next biggest artist fucking out of Australia. He's going to come on soon. Absolutely. I actually talked to him. So a lot of people are hitting me up about coming on, so I'm excited about, you know, getting some other people's stories out there.
I'm excited for you, bro. I think you have a great voice. I think people care about what you're saying. So I think it's definitely overdue. I mean, I think you should have started it a year ago and you probably would be top podcast of all time or some shit. Like,
right. Probably top three. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, man. So look, so for the people out there that don't know me, my name's Divij Vaswani. I go by Div. It's just kind of what people call me. I'm a DJ producer, but I also do music and influencer brand partnerships. So I represent, a lot of influencers across TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Some of my clients, which people might have heard of, are like Human Nuri, Lance 210, Abby Rao, Daisy Keech, Kalani Balfrey, a lot of different people, especially big on TikTok right now. So been definitely just, you know, focusing on brand partnerships. So aligning, you know, brands like Bang Energy, Boohoo, Fashion Nova, Manscaped with my creators, and basically coordinating those brand deals. And then aside from that, you know, DJing as much as I can, making beats, also, you know, in real estate. So I'm doing a lot of, you know, real estate loans. I did about $8 million in loans last year, and also representing people on the buyer and selling side. So kind of, you know, if I were to sum up what I do, it'd definitely be entertainment and music brand partnerships with, you know, the real estate side of, you know, side of things.
Yeah. Talk about your like upbringing, talk about, you know, your journey to USC, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Yeah. So I grew up in Orange County. my dad's a doctor and grew up in sort of a, you know, an upper middle-class family. Was very comfortable coming up. I didn't have many issues in terms of like, you know, what am I going to eat for breakfast? Like what, you know, how am I going to get money for bills? Da, da, da. Like it was very comfortable. I'm Indian. So my parents came here from India in their mid 20s, kind of grinded it out, you know, started from nothing. I have a sister. She's 2 years older, Isha. We kind of settled down. Shout out to the homie Isha. She just moved to New York. miss her a lot, but, yeah, bro. So look, I mean, like I early on found an interest in hip hop music, fashion. I sort of fell straight into that culture pretty early on. Just like with the people I was rolling with, like in high school and stuff. And like, I started messing around, like DJing, like making beats. I was never really that good, but it was, you know, I had the interest, right? So I was like watching
just something you were YouTube doing on videos. The side type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like I always knew I wanted to be in business. But I was just like, you know, I love music. I love rap. Like I love that culture so much. 'Cause you know, I'd see people with like grills on and gold, jewelry and all this shit and be like, they seem so confident in themselves and like they're like shining with all that stuff. So for me, it was like hip hop was my escape. Because I was definitely like bullied and stuff. Like I was fat, you know, all that shit. Freshman year of college, I think I was like 165. And now I'm like, I think like 205. So definitely put on some weight, you know, in terms of like muscle mass or whatever. But it wasn't always the case, bro. Like I was definitely the fat kid, like in high school and stuff. Yeah, man, got into USC, started, you know, studied the music industry, did my round of internships, Interscope Records, Bill Silva Entertainment, Roar Talent Agency, you know, bounced around a little bit. But I always had this thing where I was like, I don't want to work for someone else. So I was like starting e-commerce businesses, like while I was in, you know, Mike Garcia's class. Like I was trying to like figure out all my side hustles and shit.
Talk about your e-commerce. What specific products were you selling?
Yeah, man, I was selling a lot of jewelry. So again, like I kind of fell in love with that like hip hop lifestyle sort of thing. So I was like,
right,
just trying to flip like Cuban link chains or, you know, pendants, like grills. I started making grills. Like I did grills for like Kehlani and, you know, just random shit, like really. And I can cuss, right? I just want to make sure.
Of course. Yeah, fuck it.
All right, cool, cool, cool. Yeah, fuck it. Fuck it. I'm gonna like Gary Vee shit. He doesn't care, though. I love Gary Vee. But yeah, no,
shout
man.
Out Gary
so
v.
like, yeah, big shout out to Gary Vee, bro. You know, he did Wine Library TV for like a couple, like it was like 5-6 years before he popped.
Yeah, he used to sell wine.
Yeah,
like his parents' winery, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's amazing. If you don't know who Gary Vee is, guys, you guys need to get out under that fucking rock and go do some research.
I feel like everybody knows. Everybody knows who Gary Vee is.
They should, right?
but yeah, bro, so no, like just like slanging jewelry and then like trying to figure out like how do I build a website? So I kind of self-taught myself everything while I was like doing my internships and stuff. And then I kind of fell into artist management in, I think, junior year. So I met this artist, Glenn Travis, started working with him. And then I ended up meeting my current client who I'm managing now. His name's Human Nuri. He's like a really big YouTuber. He's got like 9 million subs.
I'll play him in the description too, so you guys can know who Human is. He's amazing. He's like the classic influencer, huge success, huge amount of brand deals, which Div will end up talking about, but really, really big client. So congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, it's been an interesting ride because it's definitely out of my scope, right? Like my expertise is definitely the music side, but he's an influencer. He's doing prank videos. So it's very different from what I was used to, but it's been like this uphill battle that I feel like I'm now finally kind of seeing the, you know, the rewards and the, you know, the fruits of my labor, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's been crazy. But, you know, again, I'm still DJing, still making beats, you know, still doing all that kind of stuff on the creative side, but definitely more on the brand partnerships side of things.
Nice. So yeah, talk a little bit about how you got into like the DJing and the beat making world. Because I think that's super interesting and actually inspired me to go back and, you know, DJ. So because I know how to DJ a little bit, but like I want to actually like try and learn. And one day me and Div were like hanging out at his house and we were just like chilling and DJing and it was a great time. So you want to talk about that and like how that's seeing it, like how you're seeing fruits of that labor a little bit? Because I know you're doing gigs and stuff now.
For sure. Yeah, man. So it's funny, me and you, I think we both know Ben. What's his last name? Ben
Maraner. Shout out.
Yeah.
Ben MILF. Yo, Ben, you're a MILF.
Wrong Ben.
Yo, I'm sending this. Wrong Ben. I'm sending this to Ben after this. Love you, Ben.
We both know Ben. He was in our class and he kind of put me onto that like DJing stuff. He gave me his console. So I started messing around with that.
Which I now have. I actually have it up there. It's bro, in that corner up there.
We met in that Ralph's parking lot. Remember I passed it to you or some shit?
Yeah.
That was funny.
That's so funny.
but yeah, so like once I graduated, like during high school or during college, I was interested in it, but I was always kind of too scared to pursue it because I didn't see myself as a creative.
Yeah.
So I felt fearful. But once I graduated, I found this thing called Scratch Academy. It's like a, you know, DJ school.
Yeah.
Pretty well known on the West Side. So I ended up joining that. And like within 3 weeks, bro, like I feel like I felt invincible. Like I was like, I'm ready to like DJ clubs now, like DJ bars, clubs, whatever it is.
And that's so the interesting thing, because like the what you brought up about the fear, that was like the same thing for me, like with the podcast shit. Like, I didn't want to do this unless it was perfect, unless it was like very polished. Every episode had like specific sections, and at certain times I would talk about this, and like it just became too much to where it was just like, I'm just going to do it and then see what happens. So I think that's honestly a lesson that a lot of people can learn from you specifically, because you kind of looked at DJing and yeah, before you were like fearful, you had some fears, and then you just said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And like, there's so many stigmas about doing too much, or like, you know, expanding your mind and like doing things that you like, I guess, quote unquote, shouldn't be doing. But like, you do a lot of different things, and like, it's definitely inspiring for me to see, because it's like, well, if you have all this time to do this, like, I definitely can do some shit like that, you know? And like, it's inspired me because I really want to DJ. So, because I know, yeah. I know I got an ear for music, and like, I really know, like, you know, how shit like can go together. So I'm excited to learn how to DJ. But fear is like a big part of why people don't do things. So
100%, man. I think it's crazy, bro. Like, I mean, I'm 23. I think I'm probably just a little bit older than you. But yeah. I feel like my biggest regret already at 23, and I know it sounds stupid because I'm a kid, you know, we're both children technically, but like fear of shit, bro. Like fear of, in, you know, in the gym in college, not, you know, not talking to the girl that I thought was pretty, or like,
yeah,
you know, not starting that conversation in the elevator. Like, those are the little moments where I look back and I'm like, fuck, like I could have built a relationship with someone if I just got over myself, you know?
Yeah.
But same thing with DJing. It was like, if I just like didn't care what other people thought, I probably would have been so much further along. But I also realized that's that you crazy. Can't look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to.
It happens when it happens.
Exactly. It happens when it happens, 100%. So shout out to Ash Miner again. I actually got to play his single release party, which, you know, for Innocent Eyes, go stream Innocent Eyes. It's super, super, super dope.
Stream Innocent Eyes. Stream that shit. Run it up. I'm going to put a link in the description too for that.
Yeah, so he let me DJ his single release party, which was super cool. And I got a strip club lined up in Long Beach at the Palms Gentlemen Club. So I'll be DJing there pretty soon.
Listen, guys, this guy a couple months ago didn't even know how to work a DJ board, right? Or like maybe a year or whatever it is. He's already got gigs lined up. Yeah, 4 months. Exactly. He's already got gigs lined up, and he would never like label himself as a DJ. Like, he just does it, you know? So that's why I had him on, because like, he's a hustler. He does what he wants because it's fun, and like, he's getting paid for it. So that's crazy. Yeah,
you know what's crazy though? You know what's crazy though is I'm not. So that's the twist. So, well, not yet, but like, When I finished Scratch, I did like an intensive program for like, I think it was like 8 weeks. I posted on my Instagram and my TikTok, and we should definitely talk about TikTok. But I posted on my Instagram. Yeah, talk about that too,
after this.
We should, yeah. I posted on my Instagram. I was like, look, I'm DJing for free all 2020. Like, whatever you need, I'm there. I'll do it for free.
Oh, yeah, to get some gigs. Got you.
Yeah, and the same day, bro, I had like 6 people in my DMs like, yo, I've got this party. I've got this strip club. And they're like, we'll pay you. Don't worry about it. So I think if... The biggest lesson for me there was just coming from a position of value and like not coming up. Like, for example, bro, let's say I didn't know you, right? And I didn't know what you do for a living. And I was like, yo, Brennan, check out my music. Like, I know we've never met, but you'll fuck with my shit. You're probably less likely to do that than if I came to you and I was like, hey, man, like, I'm going to give you a pack of beats. I'm going to shoot for you for free as a photographer. I'm going to do all the shit for you for free. And then, you know, maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month or whatever, I'll be like, hey, man, also I make, you know, XYZ, like, check it out. You're probably much more likely to help me then. So
right. And it's funny you say that, because I forget what class it was. It might have been Lauren's or a different class, but I think it was actually Paul Young. He was talking about, you know, make value for ourselves and not just ask people for things, but actually, like, you know, give something first instead of like, hey, I can do this, I can do, or I need this from you, instead of saying, I need this from you, be like, I can do this for you. And then being like, I need this for you later down the line. And I kind of taken that into my own life. Like, for instance, if I have to, actually, I don't want to give too many secrets away, because then people will start calling me out on it. But yeah, it's very important to like recognize that you have value to bring. And then, you know, use that value to figure out what you can try and get from the other person. Not like you're using them, but just, you know, to get, give and get value, essentially.
Exactly, bro. And I think back to Gary Vee, he says this thing where he's like, when you're in your early 20s or late teens, or even if you're in your 30s, like, go work for the person you aspire to be like and literally work for free. Like, don't expect a six-figure salary. Just come in with value and it'll all come back full circle. So that's what I try to abide by, you know, on a day-to-day.
I believe that 100% because, like, if you put your mind to something that you're super passionate about, it doesn't matter how much money you're making in the beginning because you could end up making 10 times more than later just from the amount of work you put in and the passion. And that's kind of like the route that I'm on. So that makes sense. But yeah, perfect segue. Let's talk about the TikTok realm, which is crazy.
Oh,
so
shit.
Div started doing TikToks a while ago. Not that long ago, maybe two months ago.
My first video was August, I think, 25th.
Okay.
And then I didn't post again until I think it was January 1st.
That's when I started noticing though. So we'll just call it January.
Yeah.
So Div started posting TikToks and it like inspired me. I really want to do TikToks, but like, I just don't know. It's similar with my podcast shit. Like, I want my first one to be fire. So it's like, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So, Div started doing TikToks in January, but Div, talk to him about where you're at stats wise, like with your following and, you know, your most viewed video and like all that shit.
Yeah. So I'm big.
It's crazy.
I'm big on TikTok. Not like I'm big. I mean, like,
this guy's a TikTok influencer.
No. I don't mean I'm big on TikTok like that. I mean, like, I'm tripling down on TikTok. Like, I believe in it so much as a platform. So yeah, man, I posted my first video, August, again, like 25th of 2019. And then December 31st, I was like, you know what? 2020, like, I'm going all in on TikTok. Like, I missed the wave of Instagram. I missed the wave of Vine. I didn't get YouTube famous. Like, TikTok is my time to, like, to make shit happen. So every day I was doing, like, I think 7 videos a day. It didn't matter if they were shit. I was just trying to put out volume. And by...
crazy.
I think it was February...
because there's more users on TikTok than there is content or something crazy.
There's
right?
more consumers on... at least this... was how it was about a month ago. I don't know about it, you know, now, but before it was like, there was all these people consuming content on TikTok, but not enough people actually creating the content. So there was a deficit, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. Come in, do 8 videos a day. Doesn't matter if they're shit. Just keep posting. So within like, I think a month, I probably had like 30K. And now I'm at, I think like about 60, like just under 60,
crazy.
Like just under 60,000. That's followers, by the way, guys. Which is... yeah, followers. And then I think my video views is like, I think it's like 2 million or no, like 1 million a week or something. And my most viewed video is like 3.4 million views.
That's crazy.
So it's cool. And bro, the craziest part is I've actually now figured out a way to monetize it for myself. So
that's the best part, because that's what I'm saying. That's why I want to Div on here, because he's like the king at like finding things that are underutilized. And then figuring out like kind of how to monetize it or just like how to benefit himself. So like, yeah, keep going.
TikTok just introduced link in bio. So you can actually put
that.
Your website, e-com, if you're selling t-shirts, whatever it is, you can put it in your bio and people will go click on it. It's the same thing with Instagram, right? So I've been able to monetize through that, like selling a TikTok course and selling merch and selling jewelry. And then I've also been able to leverage it for my clients. So like, for example, Human, right? We have a deal with Bang Energy, and now Bang has started to explore brand partnerships on TikTok. So who are they going to go to first, right? They're going to come to the manager who has access to those people. So I've been able to leverage that connection for TikTok, and now they're starting to pay, you know, my clients on TikTok. So it's been pretty crazy. Yeah.
See how it all reciprocates though, guys? It's like, it's just insane the amount of things you can do that can monetize and that can bring you some sort of secondary income. So there's never really an excuse. Like for me, I'm recording this podcast on my phone. Like I don't have a mic. I like barely mix it. I just throw it up there and like it's gotten some pretty good responses so far. Like obviously it's got a long way to go, but it's going well. So
Anchor?
Anchor. Shout out Anchor. It's so easy. You just put it on. You just put it on and then you can add it to a bunch of different like, you know, Spotify, Apple.
Yeah, no, shout out to Anchor, man. It's I use Anchor too for my podcast. And it's been incredible because it's like auto distribution. Like it goes straight to Spotify, straight to Apple Podcasts, like everywhere.
I'll put Div's podcast in the description too. So you guys can check that out as well. But yeah, off of that, first of all, that's amazing. All that shit you do, like If you guys are keeping track, definitely over like four or five things that he does on the side. And that's not even fully encompassing everything he does. What do you think the biggest downfall of our generation is?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I think when you're going through people's content and stuff, you see a lot of people say that social media is like our biggest downfall. I agree, because from personal experience, like going through college and stuff, I was definitely spending too much time on social media, not creating content, but just scrolling through and, you know, looking at people, see what they were doing, seeing people do all these cool things. And I started to compare myself to them. And it was like really effective, or really affecting, you know, my mental health, the way that I was thinking about myself. And I got in this deep, like pretty dark place. And I think it all kind of came from social media. So I think limiting yourself on social media, but making sure that you're using it for the benefit of your business or putting out content to do positive things is important, but don't let it be like the end all be all, you know, like don't judge yourself based on what other people are posting and that kind of thing. So,
right. You know, that's funny. Cause like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people feel this way. I was always like that, where I was judging myself based on what others were doing. I was very focused on that more than I was in my own life. And then finally something switched to where I just stopped giving a fuck. And I was just like, you know what? If I'm living my life, I need to make sure that I'm dictating my life. I can't let other people dictate my own life. So it became like a thing for me to just like sit back. If I ever had a thought like that, I'd sit back and be like, but does this like, is this helping me out by looking at someone else's glory days? You know what I mean? Like 100%. Instagram is literally a snapshot of highlights of your life, right? So if you're on Instagram, you're most likely seeing the best of someone's life, which is hard to see for someone who's like not really sure about their own life. So like for instance, like people in our generation who, if they're not confident in like what they're doing, but they're seeing like all the amazing things that someone else is doing, it's really like a really detrimental thing. So I would definitely agree that social media is the biggest downfall. It definitely has its bonuses, but it's got some really big negatives, to be honest.
Yeah, man, 100%. I mean, a good example is like, you can look at, you know, Kylie Jenner's Instagram posts all day long and see what she's doing, see she's traveling and doing all these cool things, but you don't see the evenings where she's in her room, like crying about some shit or like being in her feelings about something. Like you don't see those moments, right? Because they're not posting it.
Exactly.
So I think people who have influence on social media like need to start to be more vulnerable and start to show those moments, because that's going to give the kid in Missouri who's 17, who's trying to figure himself out, like some hope as to the fact that, you know, it's okay to have those down days. Like it's okay to be in a dark place. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
And like a lot of different celebrities, you know, should be doing this too, because it's important, you know, mental health is it's obviously become more of a thing nowadays. But I still think it needs to be touched on more. Like a lot of people are suffering, and a lot of people don't get that reassurance that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, their life will turn out fine. Like they end up going down the dark hole. So yeah, that's really unfortunate, that we have to live in a time like this. And kind of segueing into this, do you ever get people like hating on your grind, or I don't know about DMing you, but maybe not even talking to you because they think you're doing too much and they think like you're promoting too much, or like, you know what I mean? Cause like, I remember when I was in college, I would always worry about what other people thought.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, do you ever get people that like hate on you or either DM you like, oh, why are you doing all this? Or like that, you know, like behind closed doors that they're talking shit.
100%, bro. I mean, I think that's been the struggle for me probably for the last couple of years. Cause I feel like I've been on this solo entrepreneurship path for like the last 5-6 years, and it's been lonely. Like, you know, all day today, besides the whole quarantine thing, and you know, I'm sure you talked about coronavirus in your last podcast, and it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I talked in my first one.
Yeah, it's fucking insane. But like, besides being in quarantine alone all day, like every other day is like this, because I'm always, you know, on my grind, like doing my business, and if I'm not in a meeting, I'm typically at my desk on the phone. So it's like, yeah. I don't have those coworkers. I don't have a team around me of like 50 people. It's me and my laptop and my phone. So, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, man. I mean, I feel like I get DMs all the time, like from people who are like, bro, what are you doing? Like, are you a DJ? Are you a producer? Are you a manager? Like, what exactly are you doing? And I typically either don't respond or I'll respond with something positive, because in my head, it's like, look, I've got 24 hours in a day. I probably need 5 to 6 hours of sleep. And then the rest of that time, you know, 17 hours or 18 hours or whatever, like, it's okay to spend 10 of those hours on your core business. You know, for me, it's real estate. And then it's okay to spend the other 8 hours, you know, trying things or trying to land brand partnership deals, trying to make TikToks. Like, it's okay to spend your time exploring, right? So
yeah,
that's been the thing for me, man. It's just keeping the negative sounds out and just like staying in my lane. Because, you know, what's that phrase? It's like, there's no traffic in your own lane or some shit.
I don't know. It sounds like it's a joke that isn't from LA.
Probably, yeah, maybe. I'm actually, it's funny. I was born in Kansas, bro. So like, maybe it's from there.
That's actually crazy. I never would have thought you were born in Kansas. I know you told me that before, but like, I would never thought of that. You said something that like really sparked interest to me, is like when people hit you up and like, oh, what do you do? Do you do this? Do you do that? Like, people are so fixed on the idea that you can only do one thing. And that's always pissed me off. Yeah. Because like, the reason why I stopped playing basketball was because I was sick and tired of being known as the basketball player. I didn't want to be known as one thing. I'm a very diverse, like, you know this, I'm a diverse person. Like, I have a lot of different like types of friends. Yeah. Like, I hang around a lot of different types of people because I love diversity, and I don't shy away from that. So the reason why I started this podcast and the reason why I called it Across the Board is because I didn't want one topic. Mm. We could talk about whatever the fuck. We could change topics and start talking about horses and it wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, because like it's across the board. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So, and like, you know, people hit me up and they're like, oh, you know, it seems like you don't really have a focused subject. Like, it seems like you're talking about nothing, when in reality, I'm talking about everything. Yeah. Like, so who's the real winner here? So not me, because no, I'm just kidding. because I'm still getting shit in the fucking comments. Yo, I actually put up like, oh, I put up this thing that I was like, oh, what topics should I talk about for this podcast? And people are like, yeah, hey, peep my music, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, man, I'm really,
you know,
like,
wait, can I say something? The yeah, better approach as a musician, yeah, is, you know, having managed musicians and stuff,
right,
the better approach in that situation, knowing who you are in your business right now, is to actually listen to the podcast and then DM Brennan 10 or 15 points of feedback or things he could do better or things you really
exactly
like, right?
Because then I care and then Brennan, exactly. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. You see the value that this person's bringing you. They've taken 30 minutes out of their day to listen to your podcast, which you just started.
Yeah.
Like, they're appreciating your work. And then you're probably also going to go click on their page to see what they do.
Exactly. Right? Shout out to the people that actually have listened, by the way. Like, I've sent this out to a good amount of people and I've like, you know, put it on my story in hopes that people listen. Listen, it was never a goal of mine to like have people listen, but it's nice to like give feedback and like improve. So like, that's the main thing I'm asking for you from you guys. Like, if you guys have any feedback on how this went, like, I'm not the world's best podcaster. Like, this is not what this is. This is Brennan and Div talking. So, and 100%. we're recording it and we're putting it up. That's the podcast. So yeah, it's crazy how people just like hate and don't understand that you can't do multiple things. And yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
You
to
know,
me.
I'll be honest, dude. I'm honestly relieved that you get that too, because it makes me think, like, you know, I'm not like every, like other entrepreneurs, I feel like you and I have a very like mentality. Like, yeah. It's cool to know that I'm not the only one that gets that, you know.
No, it's good. It's great, honestly, because then you don't feel like you're alone in your thinking and you actually do make sense. So,
right.
Without further ado, I'm going to segue this into one of my new mini series. We're calling it Quick Fire. It's basically when I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions back to back to back. You got to give me the first answer that comes to mind and we'll wrap with that. So, are you ready, Div?
Let's get it.
If you could trade lives with anyone for a day, who would it be and why?
Scooter Braun.
Why?
Because he manages Justin Bieber, biggest, you know, one of the biggest artists in the world. He's had Kanye, he's had Ariana Grande,
okay,
Tori Kelly, legend. Right.
That's legitimate. Okay, if you were famous, what would you be famous for?
Rapping.
Leader or follower?
Leader.
What are you afraid of?
Ants.
Nike or Adidas?
Nike all day.
What's your favorite meal?
Cornbread.
dead ass. What's the one thing you can't live without?
My mom.
What's your favorite color?
Black.
What's your favorite food?
Cornbread.
Oh yeah, I already said. I said what's your favorite fuck. What's your favorite movie?
Ooh, Dark Knight or The Joker, both tied.
Oh, amazing. You know what? That's a perfect segue. Ding ding ding. Thank you, Div. That was a great little quick fire segment. Appreciate you for being the first one to do that little mini series. But we'll segue real quick into The Dark Knight. So that's actually one of my favorite movies too.
Crazy.
I want to talk about a specific scene. And that's the scene where he shoves the dude's head into the table and says the pencil disappeared, essentially.
Oh my God.
So I had a class, legend, right? So I had a class at USC where we had to recreate that scene and actually remake the sounds. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you the scene that I made with the sounds recreated, and essentially you're going to review it. Just want to take a brief intermission to thank everybody out there for listening to Across the Board. If you are listening, please share with your friends, family, neighbors, dogs, all of the above. Share that shit. Share it like it's the last piece of pie on a hot summer day. Anyways, we're going back to the show. Just want to thank you all. Follow me on social media at I Am Liddell, and follow the podcast Across the Board wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and the like. All right, so Div got a chance to watch the video. Basically, I replaced all the sound from the Dark Knight scene. And this was not planned, by the way. He just said his favorite movie is The Dark Knight, and I just happened to have this. So I replaced all the sound from a Dark Knight scene. I might put it on my story so you guys can know what I'm talking about if you care. But Div, what'd you think?
Bro, okay. First off, I got to say that movie is so incredible. Like that opening scene. The bank robbery, Yeah, one of my favorite scenes from any movie, you know, of all time. But incredible. Bro, you as a Joker, like, that was your voice, right?
Right.
Yeah. Were you the other characters too, or were you just the Joker?
Every sound was me.
What?
Every single sound you heard, I recreated.
What about the clicking when he, like, pulls everything. A little lever? That's crazy. Yep.
Everything.
Bro, I'll be honest. Like, I forget his name, the like, henchman dude.
Yeah.
The black guy or the... Yeah, the black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you killed that one. Joker, at first, I was like, oh, that's Brennan. And then it slowly got better. Like, I knew. Yeah.
That one was hard, not gonna lie.
Of course. Like, even the mouth sounds of him, like, making those, like...
What happened? Did your balls drop off? Oh, that was probably a really shitty impersonation there. But I know it was better in the recording.
Yeah, what class was that for? Like, what?
It was for a sound design class. It was actually my most fun class at USC. We just designed sounds.
I took that.
Designed sounds. It was incredible.
That's so sick, bro. I love that. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do that for fun. And I'm going to send you my rendition of it.
Please do. And then we'll talk about it on the next one.
That's amazing.
But yeah, just want to everybody give a round of applause to Div. You know what I mean? Thank you so much for being my first guest on Across the Board. I'm looking forward to having more people on, but really think your story was important and a lot of people will benefit from it. So thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you so much. I bet people are still like, wait, so what does he do?
Love it. I hope I have that illustriousness left after my last one, because I don't want people to know what I do. It's more fun that way.
Right. That's awesome, man. Thanks so much for having me, brother.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm glad you got to come on to the podcast. Just want to give a shout out to everybody listening to episode 3 of Across the Board, The Art of the Side Hustle. Shout out to Div and his podcast, LA Hustlers. Gonna put a link to that in the description below. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Have a good one, and please, please practice social distancing. Everyone stay safe. Love y'all.